Welcome to the Asbury First United Methodist Church Weekly Sermon. We hope you enjoyed this message by Stephen Cady. For more information about this podcast or other ways to connect, please visit asburyfirst.org.
Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. As we wait for that breath of new creation to bring life to our dusty world, as we wait for that new creation to come, admittedly, a little skeptically, wondering if it's really possible, wondering what it will look like if it does come, we pause for just a moment to remember that we have been through this before. And though in the moment we couldn't always see what that new creation would shape up to be, though we couldn't always predict where that path ahead would take us, somehow, by the grace of God, we found our way. Today is the second Sunday of our series on a new creation. And while last week we understood that creation came out of the chaos, today we begin the next part of our journey by looking back, so that next week we might look around and the week after we might look forward. Past, present, future. We begin, though, by looking back to remember that we have been formed from the dust, or in our case, from the ash. Nobody quite knows when the fire actually began, but the alarm went out at about 3:30 in the morning on January 5th, 1835. I remember it well. By that time, of course, there was nothing they could really do to save the building. Despite the best efforts by the fire brigade and all of the well-meaning citizens who turned out, the First Wesleyan Methodist Episcopal Church in the village of Rochester was gone. There was nothing they or anyone else could do to save it. The challenge, of course, is that it was just 14 years old at the time. It had begun several years earlier as a class meeting, that very basic unit of Methodist connection and discipleship. More on that this fall. It had been started by a protege of Francis Asbury, the namesake of the congregation it would later become. They would gather together on a weekly basis to pray with one another, to read scripture, and especially to sing. In fact, even though they had the Reverend Story, or at least that's the story, who would come through from time to time to offer a sermon or two while he was there, most people still reported being attracted by the music. Not much has changed. And nevertheless, they would gather together and eventually grow so large to 30 people that they thought it was time to start the church, which was how, on September 20th, 1820, 201 years ago tomorrow, happy early birthday, they officially became a church. Now, they met at that time in a little schoolhouse on Fitzhugh Street. And for the next few years, they bounced between different schoolhouses and different preachers until 1825, when they finally built their first chapel, a little building with three adjacent classrooms on the spot where the convention center now sits today. It was also in that year, 1825, when they got their first minister to stay for more than 1 year. He stayed for two. The Reverend John Dempster, whom some will remember from a sermon back in January of 2020, a world of time ago, went on to help found Boston University, Northwestern University, Garrett Biblical Institute, and was the key clergy person who brought a group of people to meet with then-President Abraham Lincoln, desperately trying to convince him that the Emancipation Proclamation was necessary then. But in what we can only imagine was his favorite gig, very early in his career, he helped that nascent church alongside the newly completed Erie Canal to grow from 50 to just over 400, quickly outgrowing that little chapel. And while they desperately rushed to build an addition onto their building, they knew pretty quickly, we're going to need a bigger church, which was when the dream began. A vision for a church that would sit for generations in the city of Rochester, the village back then, and eventually a town into a city, a church that would sit there in Rochester for generations to come to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ and transform the world. Only they had no money, no architect, and no idea what they were doing. But they did, it turns out, have the two things that in the end arguably make a Methodist, which is, of course, faith in Jesus Christ and a committee. That's right, they decided in lieu of an architect that they would just let a committee decide how to build the church. What could possibly go wrong? Every decision was made by committee to build this structure, to build this church, and eventually they found their way there. What they lacked in money, they made up for in creativity. That is, taking a note from the Presbyterians, they began to sell stock in the new church, trusting that it would pay dividends when the new church was built. Okay? And they asked members of the church to give up their life insurance and sell some of their assets to help make it possible to build this church. That is, they went into a great deal of debt, but in 1832, the building was complete. It was called at the time, quote, a wondrous structure of mixed architecture. By all accounts, it was a beautiful, quite an amazing building, in fact. It had three galleries on each side. It had giant Greek pillars that held up a huge dome. It was known at the time, they thought, to be the largest Methodist church in the United States, fitting just under 2,000 people. That is twice the size of the sanctuary many of us are seated in right now. And what's even more impressive is that during their revivals, their frequent revivals, they were said to fill it, especially when the Reverend Glezen Fillmore, the brother of the future President Millard Fillmore, and a man whose voice they said could be heard a mile away against the wind, was preaching. Debt was high, but times were good. And then the church burned down. The church, that new creation that they had all worked so hard and sacrificed so much to build, burned to the ground. What they thought would stand for generations was gone in less than 3 years. Maybe you've had moments like that in your life. Moments when you've worked so hard on something, tried so desperately to build up something, that relationship, that job, that achievement, that body, only to watch it suddenly, overnight, seemingly go up in flames. Maybe some of us are there this morning. If not as individuals, then certainly as a society, right? We know what it's like to watch things that we've worked so hard to build up go down in flames, go up in flames, and not be exactly sure what we're supposed to do from here. Over the course of the last year and a half, we've watched so many of those structures that we thought we could count on, those structures that had been built up as something that could sustain us no matter what, suddenly come crashing down, suddenly come crumbling down. Sure, we always knew that we were divided, but we believed that we could come together when it was really necessary. Sure, we had always understood that there was some disparities, but we always believed that it wasn't as bad as people said. Sure, we understood that racism was a problem, but we didn't understand, but we always believed that so long as we didn't harbor any ill will, we wouldn't be a part of the problem. But it wasn't just the smoke that stopped so many from being able to breathe. And all of us find ourselves longing for life, for that breath of life to sweep over us. No, make no mistake, friends, the facades that we had built up for so long we have seen scorched in this time, uncovering the shoddy construction that so many have allowed to undergird our society right now. That structure of injustice that has kept so many people down, and it is hard to stare into those flames and know what to do. Sure, it may be, as that modern prophet Joel tells us, that we didn't start the fire. It may be that it's been burning since the world's been turning, but the truth is we are the ones staring into it right now and having to figure out what to do. And as a people of faith, we can't just look away. As those who profess the name of Jesus Christ, it is our job to try and do something about the flames. Even though, as we know, it's really hard to believe when the smoke has yet to clear and those embers are still burning, when we still see people being scorched, it's hard to really believe that that fire will actually go out. The good news is that new creation comes from the dust. We hear it in our passage for today, don't we? From the very beginning, that is the story, that is the promise of new creation. Last week we heard that it comes out of the chaos. Today we hear that it comes from the dust. It's a subtle change, but not insignificant. It is from that dust, from the dirt of life, that that new creation rises. Now, of course, some people are stuck on the idea that there's more than one story of creation. There are. Some of them are right next to each other in our Bibles, like the very first two stories. We need only read through Genesis, the first couple of chapters, to recognize them. We know the stories, don't we? The first one is about 7 days, and the second one is about a garden. And while in the English language it's really easy to conflate the two, in the Hebrew it's not as easy. They use two different names for God, have two different orders for creation, and most importantly, have two different points. Our Hebrew ancestors were not dumb. They understood that they were two different stories, but they also recognized that neither one of them alone could tell the whole truth. And so they put them next to each other to try and reveal something more in them. The first one tells us who we are to God, good. And the second, who we are to each other, necessary. And if we spend so much time trying to uncover the fact in them, we miss the truth of them. We need only look to the very beginning of the second story of creation to hear a word of hope. That the Lord God formed man from the dust of the earth. Do you hear? We are formed from the dust, from the dirt, from the ash of the world. The name Adam literally means from the dust, from the earth, from the dirt. That is, it is into this messy, chaotic, and dirty world that God breathes the breath of life. Can you feel it coming? That should give us hope. After all, we are a people who know that new creation can come even from the ashes. Look at our history. When we were only 14, our church burnt down. And yet here we are. And even in that moment, there were those, the most faithful among us, who understood that God was not done with the people who would be called Asbury first. That early January morning, 1835, as the flames were still consuming that building, as the ash was yet to find its way, when the smoke was still there, we're told that the fire captain looked over and saw one of the church trustees, a Mr. Chester Garnsey, staring into the burning building. We can only imagine what was going on in his head at that time, knowing as we do that in that moment they had no money, no insurance, and now no building. And worse, that they were carrying nearly $61,000 in debt, 1835 money. And so when the captain came to old Mr. Garnsey, he did his best to try and fumble over himself to help make him feel a little bit better, saying, "I'm so sorry about your building. I'm so sorry about your church. I am so sorry. I know that the community is going to come together to help you rebuild it," at which point he stopped because he noticed the look in old Chester Garnsey's eye. We're told that it was in that moment that Chester looked from the fire to the captain and held his hands up in the sky. And he said, "Ah, Captain, we've got a house up yonder that no fire can consume." We've got a house up yonder that no fire can consume. To his dying day, that captain, who was not a particularly religious man to that moment, could not tell the story without tears running down his face, calling it the holiest moment of his entire life, that never before had he seen a more honest act of faith, a more honest act of religion than in that moment. Friends, maybe what Chester Garnsey and so many others throughout the last 200 years teach us is that when the world is going up in flames, our job is to remember the promise of the gospel that the best is yet to come and not be afraid to share it, to look out to the world and to look into the flame and to point people to the light, not the light from the flames, but the light from Christ, which starts in the darkness and never goes out. Do you hear? That is the promise of our faith. That we are here to keep pointing people toward the life, light, to give them the promise of life regardless of what is happening around us. And while it's really hard to do when the fire is still burning people, the good news is we don't have to do it alone. And we don't have to be perfect to try. After all, some will remember that it was from that fire that eventually led to the split of our church. With some people desperately wanting to rebuild in that same exact spot, so much so that they would haul their chairs down to that burnt out husk of a building right there and set up to have church there. Some people really don't like change. Whereas others wanted to start something new. And so it began on the east side of the river and the west side of the river, east side becoming Asbury eventually and the west side becoming first. That they found their way separately, but still faithfully. In fact, it wasn't until May 2nd, 1933, when another fire burned down first, that they came back together to form Asbury first. From the ash, a new creation. No, make no mistake, friends, we stand on the shoulders of giants. And in some ways, they got their dream for a church that would stand for generations in the city of Rochester. proclaiming the name of Christ and transforming the world. Only they understood what it has taken us a year and a half to finally understand is that it's not tied to the building itself. It is tied to the people who are willing to go out and continue to point people towards the life. Friends, that's our job. We stand on the shoulders of giants, and maybe you're remembering a few of them this morning. Those who have sat in these pews and the pews like them, those who have walked alongside us and pointed us toward the light. The good news is, now is our chance. On this, the very last Sunday of our bicentennial year, on this day before we enter that new creation we will call our 201st year together, we look back to give thanks to God for where we've been, but we look forward into the flames and recognize that now is our chance to point people toward the light. Now is our chance to remind people that from the dust, new creation comes. Friends, we've done it before. And by God's grace, we will do it again. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Asbury First Weekly Sermon. If you enjoyed this message, please visit asburyfirst.org and learn more about our mission to love God and neighbor, live fully, serve all, repeat.